This is probably going to be the last week that we're discussing the melacha of planting. Of that category, of one of the 39 categories which are forbidden, is planting. This will be the last week. I'll discuss it today, and I will finish it off on parts of it on Thursday. So today, we're gonna discuss the Gemara's part of the Gemara today, and then we'll actually, towards the end, I hope to have time to deal with some of the practical implications and applications of what we're learning for today. Some interesting cases, which are actually apply for each and every person, even though planting is not so common to do on a daily basis. You can hold off till after Shabbos, but we'll see that there are a lot of cases where it does come up. So I wanted to discuss a Gemara here in the beginning of Moed Katan. It's not in Shabbos, it's in a different tractate in the Talmud, in Moed Katan, which discusses the issue about pouring water on the ground. So until now we've been discussing putting seeds in the ground. You put seeds in the ground and then you create a whole tree, it takes root. So we had a lot of different discussions in terms of that. Does it have to take root? Does it not have to take root? We had a lot of discussions in terms of just putting seeds into the ground. So let's say a different case. You're not putting seeds into the ground, but you're just improving the growth of the tree or of the plant. How do you improve the growth of the tree or of the plant? By watering it, by watering the tree or the plant. So is that a problem or not of planting? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. So let's read the Gemara. We'll read it first, and then we'll analyze the Gemara. So the English is on the bottom of on the first page. Itmar, it is stated, Hamanachesh v'amashka mayim lizra'im b'shabbos, a person who weeds, or he pours water onto the zra'im, onto the plants, on Shabbos, mishumay masrinan bay. What hasra, what warning do we give a person? The halach is that if a person violates Shabbos and you have two witnesses who warn the person, don't do this because you're about to violate Shabbos, so, and then the person doesn't listen and he does it, so then he gets the death penalty. The question is what warning are they supposed to give him? You can't just say a warning of you are going to violate Shabbos. You have to specify which type of action is forbidden. So you have to say you're not allowed to plant, or you're not allowed to write, or you're not allowed to whatever it is, you're not allowed to create, you're not allowed to cook. So you have to specify that. You can't just say you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. You have to specify what exactly is the problem here. So the Gemara wants to know, so what is the problem? We know that there is a problem in terms of weeding and pouring water on the ground. The question is just, what is the problem? Why is there a problem here? So we're going to have a dispute here. Rabba Amar Mishum Choresh, Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zoraya. Rabba says that the problem is Choresh, which is the next malacha, the next forbidden activity that we're going to get into, which is plowing. So one opinion says that it's plowing. Another opinion says that the problem is planting. When you pour water, let's just focus on pouring water instead of the weeding case for now. So when you pour water, so what happens? Both are really taking place. When you pour water, you're improving, you're helping the plant to continue to grow, but you're also softening the ground. By pouring water onto the ground, you are softening the ground, which also helps in terms of the plowing of the field. You need to have a soft ground in order to plow the field. If you have a very hard ground, so then it's going to be more difficult to plow the field. So pouring water both accomplishes, at first glance, both accomplishes planting, and it accomplishes the part of the process of plowing. And yet we have a dispute here. One says that it's only because of plowing, and another opinion says that it's only because of planting. So let's just, we'll read the Gemara and then we'll analyze. Amar Rabba. Rabba explains his opinion. He says, Kavasa didi mistavra. He says, it makes sense. Well, my opinion makes sense. He says, why does it make sense? Ma darko shel choresh lirafui ara, hainami miripui ara. Just like the process, it's normal when one plows to soften the ground. That's part of the process in terms of plowing, to soften the ground. So here too, you're softening the ground. And then comes Rav Yosef and he says, I'm Rav Yosef. Kavasa didi mistavra. Says, no, it makes more sense according to my opinion. Just like it's normal when you plant, when you put the seeds in the ground, the purpose of that is ultimately to grow, to have vegetation, to grow a tree, to grow fruit. So too over here, when I pour water into the ground, I am now helping the process of growing of that, the growing of that tree. So that's Rabba and Rav Yosef. Fine. So Amar le Abaye comes a third party, Abaye. And he says, L'rabba, you rabba, lididcha kasha, I have a problem with what you said, rabba. L'Rav Yosef, kasha. He says, I also have a problem with what Rav Yosef said. According to both opinions, I have a problem with what you said. He says, lididcha kasha, mishim chorish in mishim zorei lo. L'Rav Yosef kasha, mishim zorei in mishim chorish lo. Abaye asks, I don't understand. Why are the two of you disagreeing? One says that it's because of plowing, and one says that it's because of planting. Why can't you both say that it's because of both? What problems do you have to say that it's just one or the other? Say that it's both. That's what Abaye asks.
The person, when given the warning, should warn for both? Or
the implication of Rabba and Rav Yosef is to say that Rabba says that you have to warn for plowing. The implication is, but if you were to warn for planting, that would be incorrect. And then the person wouldn't get killed. Let's say they don't listen to the warning, they would not get killed because it was not the proper warning that should have been given. So Rabba says that you have to say you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos. If you said you're not allowed to plant, well, what the guy pouring the water in is not planting. So he didn't do anything wrong. You didn't give him the correct warning. He thought that you're not allowed to plant, but this action does not have anything to do with planting. This action has to do with plowing. And Rav Yosef also, he's saying that this whole problem is about planting and not about plowing. So if you tell the person you're not allowed to plant, okay, fine, that's fine. But if you tell them you're not allowed to plow, well, this is not an action of plowing. Pouring the water onto the ground is a problem of planting. So Abaye is coming along and he's saying, what are you guys arguing about? You both are saying that this is the normal process for plowing and this is the normal process for planting. So say that it's because of both, either one. If you give either warning, it should be a problem. That's what Abaye asks. And then he proves it. We're going to try to analyze this whole Gemara in a minute. Then he tries to prove it. He says, "Ah, v'chi tema kol hecha dikatarti lo mechayev elachada." And if you're going to tell me that whenever you have the option of violating two different categories, here in one action of pouring of water, you could violate two different categories. You could violate the category of plowing and of planting. So if you're going to tell me that in such a scenario where you do one action, that you're only obligated in one, you do one action, but it can result in two different types of categories of forbidden activity, that it can only result in you can only define it as one action, even though it has the possibility of two. You can only define it as one. I'll prove to you that that's not the case. V'amar Rav Kahana, but Rav Kahana said, Zomer v'tzarech le'etzim, chayv shtayim, achas mishim noteav, achas mishim kotzer. He says, Rav Kahana has a case where you do one action, and it results in two different forbidden actions. You have violated two different categories of malacha, of forbidden actions. What are those? What's the case? You prune. You prune a tree. We discussed this, I believe, a couple weeks ago. You prune a tree, and pruning a tree is both a problem of kotzer, where you are, when you cut off the tree, so then that's a problem of cutting from its source of nourishment. Kotzer is an act of cutting from its source of nourishment. When you cut a tree, now the branches are in your hand. It's no longer connected to a source of nourishment, and you want those branches. But at the same time, when you prune, it also allows the tree to continue to grow. It helps in the growth of the tree. So here, you have violated two different categories of forbidden action. You have violated kotzer, cutting, the cutting of the tree. And also, through pruning it, you have violated planting, because it allows for the continued growth. It helps stimulate the growth of the tree. So he says, how could you tell me that if I do one action which results in two different categories, that I could only define it as one of the two? I have a case here by Rav Kahana through pruning where I violate both. It's both a cutting and planting. So the Gemara responds by saying kasha. They have no answer. For both Rabba and Rav Yosef, there's no answer. It's a strong question. This question of Abaye, of just say it's both. Why do you have to say one or the other? Just say it's both. That is a strong question that's unresolved according to the first two opinions.
I think the cases are distinguishable there. I mean, this action of when you're cutting is pruning and reaping. Did I go ahead? No, we're at the same place, right?
You're there.
Yeah, you're good.
But the water, it's one action that produces two distinct results. But none of that's not the case.
Why does this exactly produces two different results also? I now have trees in my hand that I cut off, branches in my hand that I cut off the tree.
Right, I'm saying, yeah, that's what's distinguishable. That is one action that produces two results. But this watering
produces two results.
It also produces two results. It softens the ground so that I now have the ability, it makes it easier for plowing. It's part of the plowing process is to soften the ground. And at the same time, it also allows for the growth of the plants that are already existing.
But I saw it a little differently. I saw it because when you're planting it's a multifaceted kind of action. You've got to do lots of things. You got to plow, and you got to put the seeds in, and then you got to water. All those are many actions for only one result.
Planting, if you go back to our previous weeks, planting is defined as not the result of having a plant, but planting is defined as stimulating growth.
Right.
So when I pour the water, I have stimulated growth. You're right. There are many different actions that one has to... There's many different factors that contribute to the growth of a plant. But each one would stimulate that growth. Each one should be a problem. Yeah? Because it's not the end result of having a plant. Mm-hmm. It's just the stimulation of the growth itself should be a problem.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. So, what is the question? What would you think the question is of Abaye? This question that they have on these two opinions, Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So just to review, you have a case of where you pour water on the field. Rabbah says that it's a problem of plowing. Rav Yosef says that it's a problem of planting. And comes Abaye, this third opinion, and says, why don't you say it's both? Right? He says it should be both. So what is his question that it should be both? Why is he suggesting that it's both? Or what's the disagreement here, that it should be one versus two? What would you think the disagreement is? Like, why would some opinions say that it's only you've only violated one forbidden activity, and Abaye says no, you have violated both? Yeah.
Are you asking like why that would be important?
Not why is it important, but what are they arguing about? Like why would one opinion say that you've only violated one, and another opinion, and then there's a further distinction as to which one it is?
That makes a difference if you've made two averas or one. Like if
you. I'm not saying what the ramifications are. I'm asking what is the reason for the dispute?
Maybe the intention. Like.
What do you mean?
One intention is to stimulate growth, and one will be removing. One is like secondary maybe to the, each will look at it, one will want to soften the ground, and one will want to...
In terms of intention?
Maybe.
Okay, so Sasha is actually dealing with a different question, which we're also going to have to deal with. There are two questions that we're going to have to deal with. One question that we have to deal with is that we have this dispute between Rabbah and Rav Yosef as to whether this action is primarily an action of planting or primarily an action of plowing, right? Because one says it's planting, one says it's plowing, and the reasons behind it are very similar. If you read the language of the Gemara, it says because this is normal for plowing and this is normal for planting. It's normal to pour water on the field for planting and for plowing. So if that's the case, if it's normal for both, so then what's the dispute between the two of them? Between these first two opinions, why would one say, no, it's plowing? The other one say, no, it's planting.
What makes a difference if, like, your field is already, like, if you get sufficient rain in the field, maybe, that you don't need to water it?
I'm not asking about what are the ramifications. I'm asking, like, in a regular place where you have a field that has to have water, it needs sufficient water, it doesn't have that yet, why would one view this as plowing and one would view this as planting? You're right, you are getting to ramifications which we'll discuss in a few minutes.
Does it depend what's going on in the field itself? If there's...
Let's say you have a regular field which is, you know, it's ready to be plowed under the right conditions, and it also could grow. It could grow plants under the right conditions. Both could, that's what they're discussing here. Both could happen, yet one says this is a problem of planting, and the other one says no, this is a problem of plowing. So what are they arguing about? And they're both saying that this is normal for both. So why would one say one way and one would say the other way? Yeah.
Doesn't it depend on what the person's das is? If the person's intention is to be plowing, if they want to soften the ground to plant in it, so then that would be Wow, if their das is to be planting, so then they're planting. So if you're going to be warning them, which is what the Gemara is talking about, you need to be warning them for what they're intending to do.
So you're questioning both opinions.
In essence.
Because both opinions, nobody has mentioned anything about intention yet. But nobody asked, well, what does the person want to do? Right? They're just saying, this is the halacha, that's the halacha. Nobody ever mentioned the idea of, well, what do they want to accomplish? Did they want to plant or did they want to plow? That was not...
happen in a case where the person came out and said, I'm watering this field because I want the plants in the field to grow, and the witnesses warned him that he's going to violate plowing, so he would be chayav for that?
According to Rava?
Yeah, with that hasara, he would be chayav for that.
Yeah. For sure. According to Rava.
It's
it has, according to both opinions, I'll take your question in a second, or a comment. But according to both opinions, there's nothing mentioned about intention. What the person is doing when he's pouring the water on, we don't care what his intention is. Exactly like Rabbi Lichtman pointed out. If your intention is to plow, and they warn you about planting, and that's the correct warning, like Rav Yosef says that the warning has to be about planting, even though your intention is to plow, you get the death penalty. It's more comparable to, it's a longer discussion, but it's more comparable to Psik Rishon. But that's a discussion that we should have at some point.
It's two separate actions, because you could be watering a field that doesn't have the seeds planted in it yet.
No, we're assuming that there are seeds there. Let's assume that there are seeds there, and it is stimulating some sort of growth. The Gemara says that it's on Zrayim. You have a plant there. They're already, it exists. It's in the world. So apparently intention is not a factor. So I think the reason for intention is because there's a halacha. I don't want to get too deeply involved in this, but there's a halacha that if something's automatically going to happen, but I do not intend for it, if I don't intend for it, but it's automatically going to happen, so then as long as it takes place, so then it's like I intended for it, let's say. What's a good example? The classic example that the Gemara gives, I'll just tell you the classic example of the Gemara. The Gemara says that, let's say, I cut off a chicken's head because the chicken's head used to be used as a toy for kids. Okay, so I'm cutting off the chicken's head not because I want to kill the chicken, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. I want the chicken to live. But I'm doing it because my kids need a toy. And, you know, there's no Scrabble at home. So I want to give them the chicken's toy. The head of the chicken as a toy. So, but I don't want to kill the chicken. I have no, I let the chicken live. But still, I cut it off. So we say that since your intention, it doesn't make a difference that your intention is not to kill the chicken, but since that's automatically going to happen, there's different ways of phrasing it, but let's say it's as if my intention was to kill the chicken, because it's automatic, so it's as if my intention was for that. Okay, so I think that's why intention does not play a factor here at first glance. Meaning my intention, whether my intention is to plow or to plant, whatever each opinion holds is the real correct forbidden activity here, so then that's what is going to be viewed as usur. So one thing that we have to deal with is, what is this first dispute between Rabbi and Rav Yosef? Why does one say that the primary problem here is planting versus the primary problem here is plowing? That's one issue. And then the second issue we have to deal with here is this third opinion, right? There are three opinions here. The third opinion says that no, it's not one or the other, but it's both. It's not one or the other. It really ends up being, you'd be either one. If there's a warning for either one, so then that would be sufficient to, if the person violates it, to get the death penalty. Meaning it really falls under both. So there are two questions. If it's one or the other one, so then why would you pick one versus the other one? And the second question is, what is the dispute between the first two opinions who say that it's only one, you have only violated one category, as opposed to this third opinion of Abaye, who says that no, let us just say that you have violated both, and so therefore if you give a warning for either one, that would suffice. So those are the two questions that we have to deal with. You had a question?
No. I was just going to say, is there any way that it relates to what we discussed last time, which was that the planting, in the planting option, it's an ongoing... Remember, we had that whole discussion that if it... Like there would be a difference because in the planting thing, it's something
that continues.
That continues, whereas plowing would be a finished.
It might have something to do with that.
Well, the opposite though, because if you pour the water for plowing,
And then you don't plow, then it's just completely useless. Not only isn't it going to happen in the future, it's just the water's going to dissipate, and the ground will be like you never worked the water.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what you're saying, but the opposite.
Well, we'll get into this. We'll get into this. So if you're on, if you turn to page 2, so let's see this opinion of Tosfos. So how does Tosfos understand this this whole issue? So he's trying to analyze the question of Abaye, and I think through this his analysis of the question of Abaye, we will come to understand how he understands these different opinions. Basically, Abaye asked the question that it's not one or the other, but it's both. Right? It's not planting and it's not only planting and it's not only plowing, but it's both planting and plowing. Either one would suffice as a sufficient warning. So Tosfos explains as follows. He says, Kasha l'Rabba, da'azel basar hadimyon. Rabba, Tosfos says, the problem is on Rabba. Rabba, what does Rabba say? Rabba says it's a problem of plowing, right? Because for Rabba, when he has to pick between the two, he picks the one that, what does it look more like? When I pour water on the ground, what does that look like? If I had to pick which one that looks like, does that look like plowing or does that look like planting? So Rab is of the opinion that it looks like plowing. When I pour water on the ground, that more easily, that picture looks more like a picture of plowing than of planting. That's what he says. Perhaps the idea behind that is because planting, you don't see the direct result until a little bit later on. So it's possible that when I just see the picture of the ground becoming softer through the watering of the ground, so then I would view that as plowing, not as planting, because that's more direct. That's a more direct result. Similar to what Avram Dov was saying. Because essentially, Tosfos is explaining that the first opinion that says that is based on plowing and not planting. Why? Because if I had to define it, I would pick whatever it looks like the most. What does it look like the most? And he says it looks the most like plowing and not like planting. Because I think the idea behind that is because planting, you have to, it's a process. So pouring the water so that it softens the ground, and more plowing, it looks more like plowing because at least it softened the ground. That's already an act of plowing. But to plant it, that takes time. And so I don't see as a direct result of my action as an action of planting. I see it more as an action of plowing. That's what Rabba says. We look after, if I just zero in on this action itself, what does it look like? And so if we zero in on that action, it looks like plowing and not planting.
It seems to me also because if it's planting, it requires a further piece of information by the observer that there have been seeds there.
Perhaps.
You may or may not know. Maybe it's been seeded, maybe it hasn't. But certainly, if somebody's putting water on the ground,
so then you
I
see,
know whether
you know for
I,
sure.
there's seeds there or not, that looks like plowing to me, for sure.
Okay, it could be that also. It could be that also. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
If there are seeds in there, it's definitely not plowing.
It could still be plowing.
Yeah. Why? Why would you plow if you already got seeds in there?
That would
ruin the chance of the seed.
Well, let's say I want to plant new vegetation.
Forget about the old seeds.
Yeah, forget about the old seeds. It could
yes.
be.
This plowing that they do in the mission, I think, is regularly done after the seeds are planted.
That's a discussion. That'll be next week, probably.
That's not so foreign.
That's interesting.
There is a plowing. There's a plowing which occurs before the planting. There's also a plowing which occurs after the planting.
Really?
It's weeding. Like a form of weeding.
I think it's different. It's different than just weeding. It's an actual. We'll get into this.
When I think of plowing, I think of the guy with the mule, dragging something behind and making those big furrows in the sand.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of plowing. No water on the ground.
Well, it softens the earth. The point is that it softens the earth to then allows you to plant seeds into the earth because now that the earth is soft, you have a place to put the seeds.
Yeah, you might apply water to a field that hasn't been plowed in order to soften it up, and then you run the plow through it.
Yeah, but as a direct result, if I just looked at the water going onto the field, would I view that as planting or plowing? So this opinion is saying that we view it as plowing, even though you haven't had the mule drag. Even if you haven't had that yet, it's still defined as plowing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how we understand Rabba. So Tosfos says that according to Rabba, we go based on how would we define the direct result of this action, and it would be plowing. He says, and then Abaye asks the following question. Abaye, right, he's the one that asked the question. He says, but that can't be true. He says, but what about the case where you're pruning? This is Abaye's question on the first two opinions. In a case of pruning, how would you define that? The direct result of cutting off branches from a tree. Would you call that planting, or would you call that cutting off from a tree? You would call that cutting off from a tree. You wouldn't call that planting. And yet, we say that you have also violated planting. So the first question, which is on Rabbah, is how could you tell me that it's just based on just the direct result of your action? How do we primarily view your action if in a case of pruning, we also obligate you in terms of planting? Pruning, at first glance, is not planting. You wouldn't think a person who cuts off branches from a tree would not say, oh, that action is planting. No, planting is when you put seeds into the ground. That action I would define as cutting off from a tree, which is kotzer, which is just cutting it off, pruning. But yet we obligate you even in terms of planting because we don't necessarily care about how we view that direct result, that direct action. What we care about is what happened in the end. In the end of the day, it actually causes stimulation of the growth of the plant.
So is Tosfos suggesting that according to Rabbi, you can only be chayav for malacha when it looks like that malacha? Like, for example, let's say there was no malacha of Chorish.
Yeah.
So he would say, this is not Zareah because...
Yes, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, that's going to take away half the Tosfos that exist.
It'll take away a lot. According to, we don't pass them like Rambam. But yes, according to the way Tosas is understanding this, in order for you to violate Shabbos, it has to, that action has to look like an action of a malacha, of something which is forbidden. If it didn't look like that, for example, Rabbah, with regards to pruning, he wouldn't think that that's violating planting, because it doesn't look like planting, and that's the big question on him. But we know that you have violated planting. So how could you say what you're saying? According to Rabba's logic, according to Tosos, Rabba's logic is, well, we just go based on what that action is. What's the primary definition of the result of that action? So according to Rabba, if you were to prune a tree, would that be planting? No, that shouldn't be planting. How could you tell me pruning is planting? So that's the question that Abaye has on Rabba. But we know that that is planting. That is called planting. And according to Rabba, that shouldn't be called planting because we would just say, well, what's the direct result of your action. The direct result of your action is not planting. You haven't put seeds in the ground. It doesn't look like planting. But we see that it's still called planting. So the question is, on Rabbah, how could you tell me that it's just based on the direct result of that action? That's the question on Rabbah. So now let's go to the flip side, Rav Yosef, the second opinion. Well, Rav Yosef, da'afil enem iskavin litzmoch ha-gefen, he says as follows. He says, Rav Yosef, why does Rav Yosef hold? So Rabba, we understand. Rabba says that in case of pouring water on the ground, it's a problem of plowing because that's the direct result of your action. Rav Yosef is of the opinion that if I had to define this action, I wouldn't go based on the primary result. I would go based on the intention. Not exactly... Not exactly like what Rabbi Lifman was saying, but it's based on a person's intention. When a person's intention is, well, what would be, in a classic example of pouring water into the ground, what would be the intention of such a person? In general. Not about this specific person, not about this specific individual. What is he intending, this specific person who's pouring water on the ground? But in general, a person who's pouring water on the ground, do they usually have intention for plowing? Do they usually have intention for planting? For planting. That's exactly what it is. So Rav Yosef says, we go based on how a person would generally have in mind. What would a person generally have in mind when they pour water on the ground? And that's planting. So I don't care about how we view the result of this, whether it's the result leads to a situation where there's softened dirt. That's not what I care about. I care about what would an average person pouring water on the ground... What do they have in mind? What they have in mind is planting. So that's why Rav Yosef says that you have violated planting and not plowing, because a person wouldn't generally have that in mind. And so if there wasn't the malacha of planting, if there wasn't a forbidden activity of planting, so then this person has not violated plowing, Because an average person wouldn't have in mind plowing when they pour water on the ground. There would be no such concept of violating plowing through pouring water on the ground. Because that's not what an average person has in mind. An average person, what an average person has in mind is planting, not plowing. So that's why Rav Yosef says it goes based on planting. So now, just to focus in on Tosos, what's the dispute between the first two opinions? Rabbi says you have only violated plowing. The second opinion, Rav Yosef says you have only violated planting. What's that dispute? So Tosos explains that that dispute is the malacha, is that forbidden activity defined on the direct result of your action? What is that direct result of your action? In this case, we're pouring water, it's the direct result is softened ground, so therefore it's plowing. Or is a malacha, is a forbidden activity defined based on how would most people perceive this situation? A situation where you're pouring water on the ground, not about the direct result, but going into the situation, what is a person thinking when they pour water on the ground? One's about prior to the action, and one's about post-action. Before the action of pouring water on the ground, what is a person intending? A person usually intends to just pour water on the ground in order to plant, to stimulate growth. So that's the second opinion, which says that you have only violated planting and not plowing. The first opinion says that we don't go based on what a person's intending prior to the action. We care about the direct result of that action. The direct result of that action is softened dirt. And so therefore, it's a problem of plowing. That's the first opinion. The second opinion says that, no, we care about your intention. Your intention is, or not your intention, but the norm is that when a person waters their plant, it's for the purpose of planting, to stimulate growth.
Why is the direct result not that you're stimulating growth? Mm-hmm. But why is that not?
Because just in the... It's a good question. I would assume it's just because what you see is part of the picture. That's why the language of Tosos is the dimyon, the image that you see. The image that you see is not a stimulation of growth. That's not something which is... You can't see that. What you see...
So why would you ever be chayav for planting?
The only time that you'd be chayav for planting is when you put seeds into the ground.
Why?
Because that, you see the seeds going into the ground.
You don't see the stimulated growth.
No, but you.
If that's all you need to see is the seeds going into the ground, but not the stimulated growth.
The
water on the seeds should accomplish the same thing.
No, because you need to have two things. You need to stimulate growth, but you also have to have an action which is perceived as planting. So you need two things. You have to stimulate growth, and it has to be an action which is perceived as planting. So putting seeds into the ground stimulates growth, and it's perceived as planting. But if I were to just pour water into the ground, so that stimulates growth, but that's not perceived as planting because I don't see the stimulation of the growth.
Really?
This is just Tosos. I'm not. This is not.
No, I think it's two different. It's like two different things. You pour the water on the ground. It's directly doing something, which is it's softening. And then a second thing is, if you had a seed down there, it could trickle down and help to stimulate that thing. But that would be a secondary. That would be a second. Like, I'm agreeing with...
Meaning that the image that you would see is just the dirt softening. That's the image that you would see.
The image, that's what's happening. Is that the...
Or that is what's happening directly. Directly
that's,
what's happening.
That's
but it's also
what's happening.
But it is, at some point, it will stimulate growth.
The secondary effect is that the
yeah, the so the primary is. The primary impact, maybe it's a better way of putting it, the primary impact is one of softening the dirt. That's the primary impact. A secondary impact would be stimulation of growth, because that just takes place a little later.
Or other way around.
Why the other way around?
Or the other way
around. Well, it could be the other way around.
No, because the dirt is the first layer on the ground. So
I see you pouring water on a planted field. The thing that I think is that you're watering the plants.
Exactly.
But that's your intention. That's your intention. That's exactly what Rav Yosef is saying.
Okay.
Rav Yosef is saying we go based on your intention. When a person waters their plants, what do they think?
If I'm watching you do this, like the thing that it looks like to me is watering plants. It would never have occurred to me before this class that the thing that you're doing.
I'm not asking what you see. You see a person going out and watering their flowers. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking the result of your action. So all you see, you don't have any picture. All you see is a bunch of soil just softening. That's all you see. That's the result of your action. I don't care about what happened before. I don't care about looking at the person and pouring water on the ground. I don't see that. All I see is that end result of the dirt softening and some water trickling down somewhere beneath the ground.
Put seeds in the ground. The result that you're going to see there is that there's a bunch of dirt on the ground because the seeds are now under the dirt. So you don't see anything either.
No, the action was...
No, but you saw the action.
I saw your action when you watered...
No, because watering the... Just pouring of water
yeah.
in midair. The water just goes in midair.
Yeah.
That's nothing. That's not an action that we care about. Because that doesn't violate Shabbos. If I were to pour water and it stops midair,
mm-hmm.
you have not violated Shabbos.
Same thing.
Try it at
seed.
Home.
That'll also be true with a seed. If I drop a seed, like... It hasn't violated. I haven't violated Shabbos yet.
If it stops midair.
No, but it violates it when you put it in the ground.
Yeah.
So we look at you putting the seed in the ground.
Okay.
And that looks like planting to me.
Okay.
So what we look at, what we zoom in on is the action, the point in time where you have violated Shabbos. So the point in time where you have violated Shabbos is when you put the seed into the ground, which looks like planting, and when you violate Shabbos when water touches the dirt. I don't care about the person pouring the water. That is not part of my picture. My picture is just the water on the dirt. The water on the dirt looks more like softening dirt than planting. Okay. So that's Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So with regards to that, so just to finish off Tosa's question, Tosa's understanding of the third opinion's question, is that Rav Yosef says that we focus on what would be the intention of such a scenario? Not of this specific individual, but how would we perceive the picture? How do we perceive the picture of a person pouring water? That looks like a person's planting. The problem with that is that when it comes to pruning, you have also violated planting, even though the intention when it comes to pruning, if a person just sees the picture of somebody pruning, you would think that they're pruning not to plant, but just to collect wood, to have branches, to collect wood. But it's not there in order to stimulate the growth. If you just have that picture of a person cutting the branches off a tree, you think that they're cutting the branches off the tree to get to use the branches for some reason. But not to stimulate growth of the tree.
But so I have trouble with that.
Why? Because you think when you prune a tree...
If you have a healthy limb that you're cutting off, it would depend for me on...
It would depend on the situation.
Like, if I'm looking at it, it's a dead branch, you're cutting it off, I agree. It's you're cutting it off for wood.
Okay.
But if you have a limb that's healthy and you're cutting it off, I'd go, that's an odd thing to do. It must be for pruning.
So part of what Tosa says is that this opinion who said that you have violated planting through pruning doesn't differentiate between the scenarios. He says in all scenarios, in all situations, you have violated planting. So that would be even in a case where it's a dead branch, let's say. You say you have still violated planting.
Okay.
So in all scenarios, you have violated planting, which shows you that it's not based on just the intention, but it's also just based on the result is that it's going to stimulate growth of the tree.
I think it's, the guy who is cutting the branches, he's going to cut it, he wants a firewood, but he's going to cut with the best intention of preserving the integrity of the tree. So he will probably have both intentions in mind when he's doing the same action. Yes, I need the wood, but I don't want to hurt the tree, I want to...
But it's not about stimulating growth of the tree, it's just not about hurting the tree. I don't want to hurt the tree, but I'm not doing this in order to stimulate growth of the tree, I just... There's a difference between not hurting a tree and stimulating its growth. Those are two separate things.
Okay, well, once I've got to cut some wood off the tree anyway, I'm going
to
do
fine, but at least your primary intention is to use the branches. Right? That is your primary intention, is to use the branches. Once I'm doing that, I might as well stimulate the growth in the tree. But the primary intention is to use the branches. So that's what we care about. That's what Revisa says. We care about your primary intention. Or of not you personally when you're cutting this off, but just when we observe such a situation where they're cutting off branches, that would be my primary intention. Okay, so just to review this opinion of Tosos, and then we'll get to the second opinion. I don't have so much time. So the first two opinions. Tosa says, Rabbi Rav Yosef, is this a problem of pruning or is this a problem of planting when it comes to watering? Watering plants. So Rabbah says that we go based on, that we view this as plowing. Why? Because we go based on the direct result of your action. What is the direct result of your action? What do we see? We see water on dirt, softening of the dirt. The second opinion says that it doesn't go based on the direct result of your action. It goes based on what? How would you observe the situation? Without knowing the person's intention, what would you observe as a situation? And he says you would observe the situation as one of planting. That's what the second opinion says. The third opinion, says Tosos, says that I can prove from elsewhere that it's not about either one. It's just about what happened. All we care about is, in the end of the day, what happened. And what happened? Both happens. Both pruning and, in the case of his case, pruning, planting, and cutting off the branches off the tree. And in our case of plowing and planting, they both occur. So since they both occur, I have violated both. It's not about the direct result of your action or about your intentions. At the end of the day, did both occur? Yes, both occurred. So therefore, if both occur, so then I violated both. Fine. I'm going to hold off. I just want to get to some of the practical ramifications for this. So I'm going to hold off now from the second approach. Maybe we'll get to it on Thursday.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What does it have to do with the V'chitim
al kol hecha de'igot? It's a great question.
What's the question?
He's asking, if you look back at the Gemara says, Abaye, when he asks this question, he says that, oh, and if you're going to tell me that whenever you have an action which results in two results, that you have only violated one of the two, right? If it's an action which leads to two results, that I've only violated one of the two, so I can prove to you that no, there's an action which you have violated two categories. Like in the case of pruning, where I violated both cutting off the branches and actually stimulating the growth. So what does this have to do with, it seems like the whole problem that Abaye has is, or the whole discussion is about whether you could perform one action which leads to two different violations or not. And the first opinion say that it does, that it could only lead to one violation, and the Abaye, the third opinion, seems to say that no, it's about that you can still have two violations. That's what it seems like from the Gemara. It's a great question. I am the Marsha. I don't have time for now, but the Marsha's question. And that actually is the reason for the second opinion, which we're not going to get into for a whole different understanding of the Gemara.
That's the Rishash.
That's the Rishash, yeah. Anyways, I want to get to some of the practical ramifications for this. Perhaps we'll deal with the second opinion on Thursday. What would be a difference whether it's a problem of plowing versus planting? Who cares, ultimately? Besides the fact of what you have to warn the person, practically, would it make a difference whether the problem is plowing or planting? So the answer is yes. Let's say you're doing this in an area which is just, it's not an area which you could plant. It's just not fit for planting. If I were to pour water on a piece of, on some soil, but that's not fit, it's not an area which is fit for planting, or either it's an area which is not fit for planting, or I'm not pouring water, but let's say I'm pouring some other liquid, which will not stimulate growth. Let's say I pour water which will not stimulate growth. So then, but it's still softening the ground. So that would have ramifications of whether the problem is because of plowing or planting. Because these two scenarios, I'm not planting because it's not stimulating growth. Either it's not an area which could grow, or I'm using liquid which will not stimulate growth. So it would not be a problem of planting, but it still would be a problem of plowing because in the end of the day,
there's not an area where you can grow anything. So it has to be if you plow.
So that we'll deal with next week. Whether plowing it needs to be have the potential to grow something, or it's just plowing on its own.
It's got to be on its own, because otherwise it would be a subcategory of planting.
No.
So that's a good point. Well, this is, stay tuned until next week.
It depends on what kind of seeds you have. Some seeds will grow in some areas and not in others.
Well,
that's... But generally, if it...
In that area, if you can find areas, seeds, it's, you can grow there, then it's fit for that area.
So just in terms of how we paskin and the ramifications, the Rambam says that we view this as plowing. We hold like the second opinion, not the third opinion, that this is only a problem of plowing. And if that's the case, so then you would be able to pour water on a field, assuming that the water, or not water, some other liquid where it doesn't stimulate growth, or you could pour water on a field which just doesn't have the possibility for growth. Right, because the problem is only based on plowing, so then these two examples would be permissible on Shabbos. You'd be able.
The problem is based on plowing.
The problem is plowing. It's not planting. It's
and
only a problem of plowing.
Pour a liquid that won't stimulate growth.
The problem is plowing. Sorry, you have still violated it. That's what I meant to say. Thank you. You have still violated it because in the end of the day you are still plowing. Even if you use water which will not stimulate growth, not water, some other liquid which will not stimulate growth, so then you have still violated Shabbos because of plowing.
That would mean that according to the Rambam, you could add water to flowers in Shabbos in a vase, not plowing there. Or you can add water to something that you're growing hydroponically.
I don't know. It's an interesting question on the Rambam. In the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. It's a question exactly how the Shulchan Aruch, the way we paskin. It's an interesting issue to deal with. Well, not necessarily. There's another way of learning the Gemara. But yes, according to this way of learning the Gemara. Anyway, it's a bigger discussion, which I don't have time for, unfortunately. But just in terms of various ramifications for this, what about practical applications? If you look at the last source here, if you go to page 3, the top source on page 3, I'm just going to read the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Lachen tov lahachmir shelo lechol beginos im yishtame sham im mayim. Debekoshi yesh tezar shelo yiplu sham mayim." The Ramah says, the Ramah is the Ashkenazi posik that comments on the Shulchan Aruch. He says it's a good idea not to eat in a garden, in your backyard, because there's a chance that you're using liquids, water, there's going to be water on the table, and the water might fall onto the field, and that'll be a problem with planting. So according to the Rama, it would seem to be that you are not allowed to have a meal in your backyard. You can't have a gathering in your backyard. So it's not so simple.
Over
Sukkot. But if your sukkah is on grass.
What's the difference if it's planting or plowing? I mean,
this would not have a ramification for that.
Either way, you wouldn't be able to.
You wouldn't be able to. But let's say you're not using water. Let's say you're using some other liquid which will not stimulate growth. No, the dirt. Well, the ramification would be if it has the potential for planting. Yeah, let's say there are absolutely no plants there and it's just dirt, pure dirt. That would be an implication. That would have a ramification. If you could put your, let's say, could you put your sukkah on pure dirt? It would be pretty annoying to have a sukkah just on pure dirt.
Can you make a kiddush in your backyard?
All these questions. So it's not so. The Rama says you should refrain from this.
Wait. Kiddush is different because wine wouldn't necessarily seem like growth.
It probably.
What?
The kiddush is different. All sorts of.
Yeah, wine would not. Wine would not. Wine would not stimulate growth. But assuming if you all you had there was wine, assuming that. But, if the problem is plowing, so then it'd still be a problem. It's just a question of if the problem is planting. Assume that the problem is plowing.
Why would you say wine would not stimulate growth? I think it would stimulate growth more than water would. No, it's full of nutrients and all that.
I think that really it could stimulate growth. The poskim in general say that wine is too sharp to stimulate growth. I don't know.
The wine we drink today is much watered down.
It's watered down, yeah. Today is watered down, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's also interesting that it says you shouldn't relieve yourself by that, but I think that's also an excellent
stimulation for growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure in terms of the science of how this is working. Anyway, so the Ramah does say that you should try to refrain from having a kiddush or having a meal on grass. So it's not so simple. He says you should refrain. Why? Because there's a chance that something might spill. So at face value, there's nothing wrong with it. If everything goes well, you have not violated anything, right? If you haven't poured anything. Even if you do pour something, it was by accident. You didn't have intentions for it, and it's only a chance that you're taking. So from the letter of the law, it's definitely permissible. It's just that there's a chance that something might spill, and you definitely didn't have intentions for it to spill. Nobody's having intentions to just pour what their cup of soda on the ground. So from the letter of the law, it's fine. So that's why we say in a place of a mitzvah, many say, like a sukkah, or perhaps a kiddush, but definitely for a sukkah, it would be allowed. For a mitzvah, it would definitely be allowed to have it on the grass. There are others who explain that this Ramah is dealing with a scenario where not only would they have their meal outside on the ground, but they would also be washing their dishes. they'd be washing their dishes there. So if we're dealing with a situation where you're washing your dishes, so then there's a lot more of a chance that the water will then spill on the ground. So since that's not applying nowadays, so then it'd be permissible to have any sort of social event.
They're washing their dishes like into a bucket, then, not onto the not.
Correct, but they're correct. Yeah, then it would for sure be us. It wouldn't just be to. But since there's a higher likelihood of water spilling out of the bucket, mm-hmm. as opposed to just having your kiddush, mm-hmm. where there's a lot less of a likelihood of something spilling. So then nowadays, many would say that it's allowed. There are still others who do say that it's a problem. And even if you say that there's a problem, there are those that differentiate between whether it's your house or somebody else's house. Because if it's your house, I care about the growth of my plants. But it's a little more complicated than that. But if it's somebody else's house, so then I don't care about the growth of that.
Not the like, growth of the plants, the plant in the field.
Either one, yeah, either one.
Then that's again back to intention.
No, because it's called psikarisha de lo nichalai. Anyway, it's a broader discussion. What?
You still have to benefit at some point.
So in your backyard, you might not want to drink from it, or you might not want to have it. But this is a third. This is assuming that there's a problem. There are others who say that it's not a problem nowadays because that issue, what the Ramah was talking about, was a situation where you're washing dishes in your backyard, and that doesn't happen nowadays. Another example to be aware of is, let's say, it's Sukkos, and you cover your sukkah with the tarp. But it was raining. And so now you have all the rain there. So, but if I were to remove it, so then I'm taking all the rainwater and pouring it onto the grass. So is that allowed or not allowed? Because I'm pouring all the water onto the grass. So there are two situations that would make it permissible. You need to have these two situations. If it's already fully saturated because of the rainwater,
the grass
was fully saturated, so then by me adding water at this point in time doesn't really stimulate growth because it's already been fully saturated. So in a situation where it is fully saturated, yeah,
that would be true according to both opinions,
According to both opinions, this would be true. Yes.
And this is on Shabbos, of course.
We're only dealing with Shabbos. Yeah, Shabbos here.
Can you remove a tarp?
It would be true on Sukkos also. Yeah.
Can you remove a tarp on Shabbos, forgetting about the water?
Yeah, when we get to Bona, we'll do with that. When we get to building.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you're allowed to. You are allowed to.
But you're talking about just taking a broom handle and kind of.
And pushing the water out. So one situation where it's allowed is where it's fully saturated. The second situation where it's allowed is if it doesn't go directly on the grass. Let's say you push it, it goes onto cement, and then it trickles off onto the grass, and then that would also be allowed because that's indirect. Because it's indirect, so then that situation is also allowed. Okay, that's basically some of the ramifications for this, and we might continue this topic on Thursday.